Wisconsin Eye talks to generations of leaders in the Capitol and all around the state. Wisconsin Eye is very glad to be hosting the program Teens Talk Politics. We have three seniors at Medford Area Senior High School. We have Michaela, did I say that right?
Yes.
And Michaela and Richard and Carter, right?
Right.
Okay. Michaela Kells and Carter.
Richard Colwell.
Richard, excuse me, and Carter Ray. Okay. Thank you. Now, you run a program. You started a program, Teens Talk Politics?
Yep, we started it.
Okay, you want to interview me, and that's just fine, but give us the short version of why you started Teens Talk Politics.
Okay, I guess it sort of started in our AP government class with our teacher, Mr. Nazer. He taught us a lot about political efficacy, and one thing that we learned is that the young Americans, especially people our age and college students, are sort of apathetic towards voting, and about politics is one of the things we learned. And so we decided that it would be kind of a cool opportunity to create this channel and educate our fellow youth on politics, what's going on in politics, and also show that there's a reason to be interested and to take interest in politics around us.
Is it just started this year?
It was actually started 2 years ago.
2 years ago?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And you three started it?
Yes, it was the three of us minus Richard. There was another third, and then he ended up not being in anymore, and then we added Richard.
Okay, well, I really enjoy this. I want to thank you for coming down to Wisconsin Eye. Now, okay, here's the deal. You guys can interview me, but then I get to interview you, right?
All right.
You ready?
Sounds like a plan.
Sounds good.
Is that fair? Okay,
yeah.
Go.
Okay, so our first question for you, Mr. Walters, is could you please explain how WISI promotes political participation throughout Wisconsin?
Okay, WISI will celebrate its 10th anniversary in a few months. We signed on, I think, in May of 2007. And we want to have, we're a nonprofit. We're a public affairs channel that wants to stimulate a dialogue and better understanding of the major issues confronting Wisconsin. Now, our focus is the Capitol. We are contractually obligated to cover all meetings of the State Assembly and the State Senate. So we try to let people follow their government in the Capitol and not get in the way, in other words, not insert our opinions. So we cover the Senate and the Assembly and committee hearings and press conferences. So we're trying to get out of the way and let the people of Wisconsin watch their government leaders in action. That's the short answer.
All right, thank you.
Okay, our second question is, as a news source used solely for state government, as you said, do you feel that state government is disregarded due to national issues having more coverage? And why do you believe state government is equally as important compared to the national government?
Okay, I want to ask you this. You guys left Medford this morning?
Yes.
Right.
How are your highways? Are they in good shape, bad shape?
They're pretty good shape.
They're in pretty good shape? Yeah. Okay, the Wisconsin Department of Transportation just said that the number of highways in good shape statewide has dropped from about 50% to 40%. Why do I say this? It's an issue that's with state leaders in that capital control. So they also control your seniors. You all going to be going on to college or university?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay, if you go to the UW system, people in that capital will control your tuition, how much help you get. Other issues, your parents just are writing property tax bills, aren't they, for your homes. Property taxes are controlled by state government.
Okay.
What's another issue? This week the governor said that if you're a family in Wisconsin and you are on food stamps and you have a child or children between 6 and 18, you should be required to work 80 hours a week or take job trainings. Where am I going with this? State issues are becoming more important than ever. Yes, you have this, the federal government defends us and delivers the mail and overarches on many of these programs, but state government really determines our quality of life in Wisconsin. Long answer, I apologize.
That's all right. Okay, our next question is, why is media an important linkage institution between government officials and their constituents?
Okay, I've been a reporter, an editor, and a journalist for more than four decades, and I'm more convinced than ever that the media is needed to hold our elected officials and institutions accountable. There was an example in the State Department audit of a Chippewa Falls road project that went from like $33,000 in cost to more than $100 million. Well, why did that happen? I have found covering elected officials and people who are appointed to key jobs that sometimes they're really happy to tell you all they've achieved, but they sometimes have a tendency to minimize the problems and some of the solutions. So who else is going to hold our leaders accountable but a journalist and representatives of the news media? That's not to say we always do the best job, but my saying is I've always tried to get it right, but sometimes I haven't gotten it right. So the media is extremely important in our fragile democracy.
Okay. All right. Besides intensive coverage of state legislature, what are other news stories that WiseEye covers in the Capitol?
Okay, Wisconsin Eye, if we're not covering the legislature and its committees, the second thing that we cover the most is the Supreme Court, which you have three branches of government. You guys know that. Your AP teacher taught you that, right?
Yes.
Executive, legislative, and
judicial.
Home run. Thank you. So our second biggest area of coverage is the Supreme Court. We cover them both when they're hearing oral arguments and when they're having their administrative sessions, making decisions on how the court functions. But then we also go around the state covering forums, covering programs of statewide importance about not only my future, but your future, future taxpayers, future workers. So we go around the state paying attention to issues and forums and programs that we think almost not set the agenda for the future, but frame the questions to be decided in the future. I also last year interviewed 210 candidates from the U.S. Senate down to the State Assembly. And what we do with that is we put that out available to voters. Let's see, your senator is Mr. Petrowski.
Yep.
Your representative is Jimmy Boy Edming.
Yep.
So the voters who voted on Representative Edming on November 8th, and Mr. Petrowski wasn't up last year, but he'll be up in 2018, they can watch my interviews with candidates. So I think we fulfill a very important role in Wisconsin government. I'm giving you too long answers, but thanks for the question.
Not at all.
The next question is, how competitive is media and politics, and what's something you've learned throughout your years being in it?
Before joining Wisconsin Eye, I worked for newspapers for 39 years and 7 months as an editor and a reporter, and it was very competitive, and it's still very competitive. I spend a few hours in the Capitol press room, and we Capitol press room reporters are continually leaving that common work area because we're working on something that we're very proud of and we don't want our fellow reporters to know about. So it's still very competitive. But when I started working for newspapers, the news cycle was when the next newspaper came out, but right now there's a 24/7 news cycle. If you get a nugget of news and you can confirm it, post it immediately on your organization's website. So this business is still very competitive. What have I learned? I've learned that in that building, your word is your bond, and those people up there have to trust when somebody is told, I'm not going to vote for the bill, or I'm going to vote for the bill, or I'm going to vote for you in leadership, they're only as good as their word. They better live with that commitment, because trust holds that building together in the Capitol.
All right, and our final question is kind of our trademark question, and that is, what do you believe is the biggest problem facing the youth today?
Well, you guys, I'm going to start with what I call the legacy costs. Our generation, we boomers, we have left you with a Social Security system. We have left you with a $19 trillion debt. We have left you with a transportation infrastructure that is at points not doing very well. So we have some legacy costs that you as future workers and career professionals are going to have to sort through. But you're from Taylor County, and another issue is the gap in economic opportunities between the Dane counties and Southeast Wisconsin and Taylor County. Where are the jobs of the future in Taylor County? So those are some of the overarching issues, starting with the $19 trillion national debt that, I'm sorry, but thank you for helping deal with that in the future. Class of 2017, Medford High. Was that? Are those your questions?
Those are our questions.
Okay, here's what a reporter does. A reporter gets ready for things like this by looking up you and you guys' high school. So what's the graduation rate, Medford High School?
Oh, gosh. Can we guess?
Sure, Michaela, sure.
I guess it's got to be like 98%.
Yeah, like 96?
89%.
Oh,
higher
wow.
than the state average of 87. That was in the 2014-2015. Sorry about your 61-49 basketball loss to Somerville on Tuesday. Your basketball team is now 1-9. Your football team was 3-8. You guys doing okay with this? Okay. I do have some specific questions. How did Taylor County vote on the November 8 election for president?
President, I was there election night. I had an internship with the county clerk's office, and so I got to see all the votes come in. Very, very red.
Okay, I'm a journalist. Very red doesn't satisfy me. What's the number?
Oh,
what percentage? What percentage did Mr. Trump get?
That's a Michaela question.
Oh my gosh, no.
That's a Michaela question?
No. Oh no, I want to say like, I don't want to guess, but I feel like at least 3/4 of the vote.
70%, so you're really close.
Okay.
Okay. What's the unemployment rate in Taylor County? Hmm. Come on, I'm a journalist. I
oh, my gosh. We didn't know that there was going to be a quiz.
What? You come to my house and not expect to be asked questions?
Unemployment rate. What's the national average?
Okay, the state average is 4%. Nine. There, I helped you.
Okay.
4%.
So I feel like we're better than
that. I feel like it's pretty low.
Yeah, we've been pretty good counting.
2%,
yeah.
4.5%.
Mm. Okay. So, okay.
Come on, Medford, letting us down here.
So, and your school nickname begins the Cardinals. See, I had so much fun on the internet getting ready for this. But now,
oh gosh.
Now we get ready for my questions. Ready?
Right.
Okay. What have you learned about politics in the 3 years that you've had Teens Talk Politics that surprised you, Carter?
That surprised us?
Yep. That surprised you?
That I would say meeting with politicians and just finding out that they're just regular, everyday people, that they put their pants on one leg at a time. That, I don't know, you can kind of see, like, in Medford, and you see like, these guys in Washington, D.C. and in Madison and the big Capitol buildings, that they're these big, important people, but in reality, they're just one of us.
They're just people who made a choice to get involved publicly.
Right.
And they entered a public fishbowl, which makes them, their families, you know, it raises their, in terms of the community profile. But they're just people given titles, huh?
Right.
That's a good answer. Go ahead, Rick.
I was actually going to say the same thing.
Oh, come on.
For example, we interviewed Ron Johnson, and he came to our school for that interview. And so he comes in, and we're about to set up for the interview, and he says to us, okay, now I need to find the bathroom. Where's the bathroom?
Right.
And just these things where before you actually have the opportunity to meet these people, you have this picture in your mind, and you run through all the things they're going to say, what you expect, and they're really just normal people. We got to sit down with Shirley Abrahamson and interview her, and she confided in us about issues with flooding going on in her house and how that was a stressor that she was dealing with, and just these things where, like you said, they are just everyday people who just happen to be in these positions, but they're just like everyone else.
Yeah.
Michaela.
Oh my gosh. I was going to say something similar to that, so I guess I'll change my answer. I don't know if it's because they want more publicity, but I'm really, just really thankful that they would sit down with a bunch of kids who are just trying to start something up. So I guess I realized that, I mean, why we started is we want the politicians to realize that the youth really do care about government, and I hope that's the message they got with sitting down with
Preach us. It. You're not kids. You are the next generation of leaders, okay? You're not kids. I mean, you've done a serious thing talking politics. You've approached serious people, from your legislators to Senator Johnson. Did I hear you? You interviewed the governor?
We did interview the governor.
I'm so glad you're doing that. The last thing you are is a kid. You're a very informed generation. We have a nation divided. Secretary Clinton won the popular vote, and President Trump is president because he won the Electoral College. So here's my question. Is Taylor County, do you feel as divided as the nation? No examples, please, because, you know, you made no family anecdotes.
All right.
But is Taylor County as divided as a nation?
I'm not trying to bring myself into it, but I don't believe Taylor County was as divided as a nation. I think that we tend to lean very conservative and red, okay, especially with people that we elect towards office, with a lot of Trump's topics and his beliefs. Mm-hmm. I feel like that fit pretty well into Taylor County, kind of being up north a little, okay, and especially, yeah, that basically.
Well, is there any frank discussions among family and extended family over the, or is politics off limits now in any any diners or anything, any kitchen tables?
I guess, like, for me personally, I've experienced, I wouldn't say it is. I think that the dialogue is still very much open because our county in general does lean conservatively, yes, but that doesn't mean that there aren't people who have liberal viewpoints. And so I think that at times there are heated discussions between people. I think that's fair, but I think that's also a natural, normal part of having an open dialogue, because regardless of how the presidential election went, I think that being united and coming together and still talking about the issues openly is very important. And I think that that very much is happening in our county and hopefully across the nation.
Do you want any 2 cents? Any things you've heard in the wake of a pretty divisive election?
I mean, they pretty much hit the nail on the head. I don't have much to add on that.
All right. Well, you're student journalists. You're asking important people questions. What one question would you ask President Trump? You go first.
I would say, just in the spirit of our channel, what does he think is the biggest problem facing the youth today? And what will he do in order to either make it easier for us or help us out or anything like that?
Okay. Please.
I guess I don't know if I have one specific question, but we'd kind of talked about this on the way up, actually, on the way down, actually. I think one big issue, at least for me as a student, and I think I speak for a lot of my pupils, is education in terms of, like, public education, mm-hmm, and funding. You know, recently with the DeVos hearings,
yes,
and the controversy kind of surrounding that, as well as public, or rather college education, and how students are going to be funding that with the rising cost of student loans. And I think asking President Trump how he plans to address keeping education affordable in a world where we're no longer the top in all of the subjects. We're not number one in math and science, like, we potentially should be as one of the world leaders. And so asking how he thinks we should address those issues.
Okay, your one question for the president?
Well, my first, like, one question would definitely be what basically Richard said, is with the college affordability, because I feel like that's something that needs to be addressed. And I know even in our state, Tammy Baldwin tried to deal with it too, with having, like, the first 2 years of college paid off for. But I think, I'm not sure where that
Bernie
was.
Bernie Sanders advocated free. Okay.
Yeah, and I think that's why he had a lot of the youth, you know, hyped up, like, oh, free college, or, you know, at least less college, because I think that's something that needs to be addressed. More so, I guess, if I had to choose a second question, since Richard took mine, I would, I don't know, I kind of want to hear about his media and ask him, because I know through, he's been talking, like, he has a war, you know, he wants to fight the war on terrorism, he wants to fight the war on illegal immigrants, but it kind of feels like, you know, him being in office, I think it's almost going to be a week tomorrow. He kind of seems like he has a war on media now. So I think I would ask him something pertaining to media and if all the comments he said was worth it leading up to the election and his inauguration.
Well, a follow-up question for all three of you. Is social media, as it has become part of the political fabric and dialogue, is it good or bad? The role of social media.
I think social media is absolutely good. Okay. I think that it helps get people involved. I mean, through us, the way we upload our videos and the way people see our videos is on YouTube. It's through social media. The way we try to stay connected with people is through our Facebook page, Teens Talk Politics. I think social media is like another, in addition, a linkage institution between the elected officials and their constituents. I feel like Senator Tammy Baldwin has a Twitter page, Ron Johnson has a Twitter page. Mm-hmm. People can just go on social media and they can see what they're doing, if they're keeping up with their tasks and what's happening in government.
Okay, social media.
I guess I can't take a definitive side on it, because I think, as Michaela said, it's definitely useful for just being another way for politicians to disseminate news to their constituents, and it also serves as a way for constituents to reach out to their senators, other congressmen. But at the same time, I think that we have seen a lot of the division in politics and the division in our country being augmented by this increase in social media. On Facebook, it's very common nowadays to see political posts and to see pages of arguments that are hundreds of comments long, people bickering and fighting over issues. And I don't know if that's necessarily helping our democracy when people aren't even trying to think critically about the issues. They're simply just typing up on the keyboard whatever the first thing is that they think and sending it away without
whatever
consequence.
Whatever visceral reaction and emotion they have to what's posted. Yeah. Okay, role of social media?
Well, it's like an instantaneous update on whatever the elected official is thinking. And it's this huge thing. I mean, they can reach out to hundreds of millions of people on their fingertips. It could serve as a, like Michaela said, like a linkage institution between the elected officials and the constituents.
Okay. I used to teach journalism classes at the UW-Madison. Here's what I would ask my students. I want to ask it to each of you. Where do you get your news? Michaela.
This is actually really interesting. So I watched this video. I don't know if you ever heard. It's called the United States Senate Youth Program.
No.
And also so it's in Washington, and it's
produced
once
by
a week.
Who?
It's funded by the Hearst Foundation. They send two delegates each from each state to go there. And there's always a C-SPAN. Like, they go and C-SPAN comes and they interview all the students, either juniors or seniors from high school. And I watched it, and they asked, like, where do you find reliable news source? And I didn't even, like, it didn't even occur to me that news was so biased and all this stuff. And so I get my news source from BBC. That's where I get, because it's, you know, it's not in the United States. It's from a different country. So
your number one news source is BBC.
Yes.
This is absolutely fascinating.
Yeah.
So you get the American edition of BBC. Well, thank you for sharing that.
Yeah.
What's number two on your news source list?
Oh, gosh. Well, number two is like a list of them. I'll watch my local news, you know, Channel 7, shout out. I also look on CNN. I look on NBC, ABC. I just all of those, you know, the ones that you get at nightly news. I look
when's
at our
the last
local
time you held a newspaper in your hand and got ink on your fingers?
I held a newspaper last week. I do read the newspaper. I do.
Which one?
Local News, the Star News from Medford, Wisconsin.
Another shout out?
Yeah, another shout out to the Star News.
If you want
to
subscribe, go to... Okay, go ahead.
Well, that's like what I think is really interesting, especially about Twitter and social media, is that you can like all these pages and then you can scroll through, like in the morning when you wake up, and you can find like all these different news, and you can kind of see how their stories are different, and then you can decide. That's another reason why I like social media, is because you can look at multiple stories and see how they relate to each other.
BBC, that's impressive. Where do you get your news?
For me, it's probably, it's an eclectic kind of range of sources. One that I actually have, a French news publication on my phone, actually, that I go to. And that, I think, is useful just because, sort of with the same as BBC, where there's not as much reason for them to have political angles as opposed to a lot of the major news sources in the United States. They're not trying to push politics one way or the other. And in addition to that, we have a very America-centric way of looking at the world, I think. We like to look at the world in terms of how we relate to it. And so getting different world news from a different place helps to kind of build that world perspective, I think.
What's your secondary source?
I think, honestly, the largest. I do watch television, whether it's CNN, NBC, or even Fox News, depending whatever is on. And I think taking a look at the bias and just making sure that you're critical with how you digest your news is important. But probably the second largest source would honestly be just on my Facebook feed, just whatever is posted, whether it's, for example, with the confirmations for the various Trump appointments, all that, where you get those throughout the day and you're getting kind of a constant update of what's going on, the different things being said by different politicians, or if there is a tragedy or some big event, if you're on Facebook, chances are you'll see it, and it helps you to get various sources even on Facebook.
And the last time you held Ink on Your Fingers newspaper, also the Medford Star News?
That is correct. Geez,
there's two shout-outs. Carter, where do you get your news, sir?
I would have to say, like, a local news station, such as, like, on TV, would be, like, Channel 9 or Channel 7. I think that would be the most, it'd be most convenient because it's on in the morning and everything like that. And I would have to say, to follow up on that, my runner-up would have to be social media because, like Richard said, it's instantaneous. It's on your phone, and everything is popping up. And if it's something huge, big, like a world catastrophe, it's going to be on there, yeah. And you're going to hear about it.
Okay, I'm going to ask you the same. We're down to about 4 minutes, so we got to go quickly. But you asked me this question, biggest problem facing youth of today. My turn to ask it of youth of today. Carter.
Biggest problem. I would have to say, well, like the cost of furthering your education into college and stuff, okay. It's tremendous, and it's kind of a big load on your shoulders, especially as a senior in high school, knowing that you have to go on to college or the workforce or whatever you do. Okay. But it's kind of a load on your shoulders.
Richard?
I guess to kind of build upon that, I think just education in general is an issue that's very important to me, looking at just compared to a lot of major countries in the world. We academically, in my opinion, are not where we should be. With all the advances we've made as a country, we're one of the probably strongest countries in the world, if not the strongest, in terms of our military and our budget, our GDP, all these things, and yet we're coming in 30th in math, science, these things where really I think we should be doing better, and I think addressing those problems to help us be an educated nation is important to me.
Michaela.
So for me, there's some of them that you address, like the national debt. I think of that almost every day and how we're growing up and we have to deal with that. I'm just like trying to think of scenarios in my head that we can play out that we can just get rid of that debt, but it's trillions and trillions of dollars. So that's definitely a big issue that needs to be addressed. In addition, I think it's sometimes forgotten or pushed in the back, Social Security. So Social Security is running out, and the three of us, we have jobs, and we're putting money towards our paycheck for Social Security when we don't know if Social Security is going to be there for us. So a lot of it is, you know, feeling safe. Like, I don't feel safe growing up in this, at least in America right now, not knowing that I'll have Social Security or that I'll have to pay towards the national debt.
Just to be sure, when you say you don't feel safe, you're talking about economic insecurity
Not
the threat, of terrorism.
Well, I mean,
like
if you want me to go on. In addition, I think we've looked at the Boston bombing, which was a couple years ago, the Paris thing. All of this has been going around the United States and worldwide, basically. I mean, I don't feel safe with ISIS running around, so, and I know that's something that Donald Trump is trying to fix with the war on terrorism.
I have two more questions. You ready? It's a follow-up to the last one. Can the two-party system, the two-party political system that you've been studying, with Teens Talk Politics, can it address and solve the problems that you've just identified? Michaela, you go first. Short answer.
All right. Two-party system.
Can the two-party system address the problems that you've just outlined that you're concerned with?
Okay, well, I'm a big believer in compromise, and I don't think that the Democratic side, the Republican side, and I think there's a few independents in there, one or two, if we're talking about, you know, the Congress and the Senate, I don't think if they're going to be stuck on their own beliefs and they're not going to be willing to compromise, I don't think anything's going to get done.
I think you just said that the two-party system isn't going to work for your generation.
I don't believe it's going to work, no.
Richard.
I would have to agree. I think that one thing we discussed heavily in AP government is political gridlock, and that's something that has become especially prevalent in the past decade. And so trying to move past that, I think it's possible to, but I don't think either side wants to budge. And I think there needs to be that coalition building and that will to move forward in a positive direction that will engage that, and I don't know if we're at that point.
Carter.
I'd have to add on to that. We learned in our class throughout the entire United States history that third parties have always brought to light issues in the United States, and that I think third parties and other parties can end the gridlock in the United States.
Okay, and then final question. You're going to be graduating soon. What are you going to be doing this fall? Going to go on to school? Going to do... Carter.
Well, I'm in the Army National Guard.
You are.
And so I have to go through my training this summer, and I'll be going to school next fall.
Okay, and then 10 years from now, you hope to be doing what?
Oh, man, that's a big question.
Oh, okay, I'll give you time to think. Richard.
I will be attending the Massachusetts Institute of Technology this fall, and I'm planning on nuclear or chemical engineering, and I hope to possibly even pursue law after my four-year degree, and so I hope to possibly go into engineering, but then I also would like to be involved in politics at a local level, whether it be on county board or the school board, wherever I live, something to that extent.
Carter, 10 years from now?
Oh,
I'm not going to let you go, man.
Go on to Michaela.
Michaela?
Oh, my God. Okay, so...
This
fall, I'll attend college.
Where?
Not sure yet either. I'm deciding between UW-Madison or Miami University in Oxford, Ohio.
Okay.
So those are the two I'm deciding upon. And hopefully
So you'll be interested in the tuition next fall on the UW-Madison campus,
exactly.
Which will be part of the state budget that we're about to debate. 10 years from now?
10 years from now. Oh, my gosh, that's so far away.
Yeah, I understand.
Years from now. Well, I definitely want to be, like, having fun and stuff and happy, but more so I really want to actually be involved in government and politics. I'm looking at, like, a state position, a local or state position that I would like to do.
So you
yeah, I
you
would
possibly
like to,
could run.
Possibly.
For office.
And then more so after, my dad's a lawyer, so he's kind of like pushing on me to be going to law school. So it's in question, but it's a possibility.
A potential candidate for public office, Okay, man, your turn.
I mean, I don't know what exactly I want to be doing in 10 years, but I definitely want to run for a public office. I don't know if it's going to be state or county level, but definitely like a local level of government is what I want.
Okay, we are out of time. I want to thank you guys. I'm very impressed with Teens Talk Politics. I'm very impressed with your answers. Did you expect to be interviewed today? I mean, isn't this great?
This is
it's
awesome.
Really fun.
This is so cool.
It was a pleasure, really.
Yeah, it really was.
I want to thank Michaela and Richard and Carter for coming into Wisconsin Eye for this Newsmaker show. And let's see, shall we say go Cardinals? Isn't that you guys' team mascot?
No.
We're the Medford Raiders.
Raiders.
Oh, I got it wrong. Okay, go Medford Raiders.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.